This year is sponsored Le'ilui Nishmas Hinda Rivka Bat Rav Avram.
Okay. We're in Siman Lamed Beis Sif Mem Gimel. Charitz Shel Shin. Dahainu Chuda Lamata Yagia Ad Mokem HaTefer. We said yesterday, Mokem HaTefer means the base of the tefillin, which is the titura. Chuda Shel Shin means the following. A shin has an arm on the left, an arm on the right, and an arm in the center. They come down and they meet at a point, right? There's a point at the bottom. So Chuda Shel Shin is referring to the point at the bottom of the shin. So the point of the bottom of the shin should reach the base of the tefillin, which means that the point of the bottom of the shin should not be above the base, right? If the tower rising above the base has, for argument's sake, let's say a height of 4 centimeters, and the shin takes up only 3 centimeters, so technically you can create the shin on the side of the bias such that it doesn't reach the base. This halacha is telling us that the shin, the bottom of the shin, should reach the base. It says the Ramah, v'chein hayud shebeshin tzarech liga lamata b'shulei hashin. The yud of the shin, meaning the middle arm of the shin, right? There's a V, a right and a left side, and then there's another yud in the center. So the yud in the center should reach the bottom, meaning it should touch, meaning the entire shin should be one single unit. Layim sheikh hashin harbe, ela shagam shulei hashin yehenira ad al hatefer. In other words, don't overdo it when it comes to one's zealousness in ensuring that the base of the shin, that the point at the bottom of the shin that we just described, touches the base. Meaning as follows: since there are three arms, and we said that the point at the bottom should be touching the base, so if one has the entire point at the bottom of the shin under water, so above the base, what's going to be visible is just the three arms. The actual bottom of the shin won't be visible because it's going to be in the base, submerged in the base. So that's what he's saying, that even though the bottom of the shin should reach the base, but it shouldn't be in the base. Halacha Mem Dalet. Titura de tefillin halacha l'maishe misinai. The titura of the tefillin is halacha l'maishe misinai. So we described already that the titura is referring to the base of the tefillin. Again, there's three parts. There's the ma'abarta, which is the tunnel that the ritzua runs through. There is the titura, which is the base of the tefillin. And there is the ktsitsa, which is the tower at the top of rising up out of the titura. Now, technically speaking, the real titura is the bottom half of the titura. The titura, by definition, is comprised of two halves, like this, right? It's comprised of two halves, because the tower comes up out of the titura elyaina, and then the titura tachtaina seals the tefillin, and then they're sewn together, the bottom and the top titura. So we refer to the top titura and the bottom titura, we refer to both of them as the titura, because that's what we see when we're looking at the tefillin. But in reality, it's two separate parts, and the real technical titura is only the bottom half, not the top half. Titura de tefillin halacha l'maishe misinai, so the fact that there needs to be a bottom half is a halacha l'maishe misinai, v'hainu sheyosim or lamata l'chasis piyabatim, which is the bottom part of the bias, which covers the kishkis of the bias, as it were, right? We're putting the parashias into the innards of the batim, and then we cover it on the bottom. So the cover on the bottom is a seal for the batim. V'nira kein daf shel gesher, and it looks like a plank of a bridge. Anikra titura. Ma'abarta ditfilin, the tunnel that the ritzua runs through in the back, is also halacha l'maishe misinai. V'hainu sha'or hatitura yehei oruch mitzad echad v'yase boi What that means is that how is the ma'abarta created? How is this tunnel created? The tunnel is created that the leather extends backward, and then when it's folded down, so the extension in the back is an extra area that the ritzua runs through. But it's really, it's just an extension of the titura. It's attached to the titura. V'yaseh bo yam abarta, with that extra piece of leather. Ketzad yechatchenu b'shnei tzadim shaloi tehei rechava k'may reichav hatitura k'day sheyehei nikar ribua hatitura. Over here, really, a picture would be helpful, or a pair of tefillin. Is this yours? I can use it for a second? Thank you very much. Okay, so I'll show you quickly. Oh, okay, you beat us to it. Either one, it's fine. So what that means is as follows. Here you have a pair of tefillin, right? This is the ktitza, the top part. This is the base. This is the titura. This is the ma'abarta, okay, that the ritzua runs through. And you see that there's a cut here and a cut over here, right? And the purpose of these two cuts is to accentuate the fact that this from here to here is the titura, and from here to here is the ma'abarta. If there would be no cuts here and it would just extend, so then it wouldn't be recognizable where the titura ended and where the ma'abarta began, right? If this was just one flush piece of leather, then there would no, it would not be a heker for the purpose is for the ribua. The ribua of the titura extends only from here to here. So if we wouldn't have these cuts, right, a cut here and a cut here, then it wouldn't be clear, there would be no heker ribua at all. So by definition, and it has to be merubah. So because it has to be merubah, that's why we make these cuts. Let's leave it here, if you don't mind. Okay, set, thank you. Okay. Keitzad yechatchenu b'shnei atzadim, you make these two cuts, k'dei sh'lo tehei rechava, so that it won't have the same width, k'may reichav hatitura, k'dei sh'yei nikar ribua hatitura, in order that the ribua of the titura should be nikar. Uba'isa ma'abarta iveres haritzua, and the ritzua passes through that tunnel, v'al shem kach nikreis ma'abarta, and that's why it's called the ma'abarta, because as we said, it's a ma'avar, it's a passageway. Gam b'tfilin shel yad, yasa titura, and in the tefillin of the shel yad, we also make the same titura and the ma'abarta. It's the same in the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel reish. Now that we know what batim look like, so now we're going to talk about how to insert the parashias into the batim. Step one: yigalgal kol parasha misayfa l'tchilasa. You take the parasha, which is short and very wide, right? Parashias extend from the right to the left, they're quite long, although vertically they're quite short. So you galgal kol parasha, you roll each parasha from the end to the beginning, and then once it's rolled up like a scroll, the korcham beklaf, you then wrap them in a piece of klaf, katan, a small piece of klaf. This is for protection. The yesh makpidim mil korcham ela beklaf kosher, and there are those that are makpid to only wrap them in kosher klaf. Once they're wrapped in the klaf, what's going to keep the klaf closed? So you tie it shut with a hair of a behema aichaya tahirim. I once was flying and they lost my luggage. And so they called me up that they thought they may have found the luggage. So they asked me for a simon of what's in the luggage. So I said, there's seven cow tails in the duffel. So the lady opened the duffel and she shrieked and she said, "This is yours." Okay. So that's it. So that's this halacha l'maishim misinai sheyichrei chaleh aser behema oichaya hatahir. You have to have hairs of a behema oichaya tahir. Haga v'noyagim lichreich seir ala parsha. We wrap it in these hairs twice. Once on the parasha itself, achar kach korchin olav klaf kosher, v'chorzin v'korchin olav seir. There's a suffix, where to wrap. Do we wrap on the parasha itself, and then we wrap it in klaf, or do we wrap it in klaf, and then seal the klaf with the seiris? So because it's a suffix, we do both. First, we wrap the klaf with the seiris, and tie it shut, as it were. We then wrap that in klaf, and then we seal the klaf with another hair. V'noagu sheyia seir shel egel. The meaning is that we use hair of a calf, right? Because this is a zecher, as a kapora for the maisa egel. I think it's brought down also that they use the from the heel of the animal. V'imloy matzah shel egel, if you don't have an egel, it's fine. Kayach b'shel par, you use a regular cow or a bull or an ox, whatever it is. Oy shel shar, v'reichitz haser heitev, you have to wash the hair well, b'tchila, ad sheyehe noki, until it's clean. K'tzas seyer zeh, tzarech sheyireh, chutz lebatim. So, where's the shel rosh? You have the shel rosh? I'll show you. If you take a look at your shel rosh, shkayach, so you will see, hopefully, yes, right here, you see there's a little tiny hair coming out, which is visible. Okay? So that's a kiyum of this halacha, right? That, what's the lashon again? Ktsas seir ze tzar sheyira chutz labatim, right? So what this seir actually is coming from, the parashias are wrapped inside with these seiris, and then a little bit of those seiris we pull out to make it visible coming out of one of the holes of the stitching.
So all the parashias,
just one? Just one. We pull it out between Shema and Bahayam Shemaya as the minik. That's where it is. And Rabbeinu Tam, it's in the one next to it. No, it's not makiv, but it's chomer. It's something that should be repaired if it's not there. Memhei. Yitain kol parasha bebayis shalosh atahei zekufa ma'umad bebesa. Every parasha should be placed in its compartment upright. Okay, vertically. And upright meaning not upside down. What's the halacha if, chas v'shalom, sometimes we find such a thing, if it's placed in the bayis upside down. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha talks about it. I think most poskim hold that way. Reb Chaim Kanievsky has a whole arichas about this in regarding mezuzah and tefillin. He has a tzad to be mekel, but I think most poskim are machmir. I think Reb Chaim himself at the end also is machmir. So it's very important that the parasha should be put in the batim, right side up, vertically. Memvav. Yia hagilian elyon tchila. That's what we were just saying, that it should be right side up, not upside down. What that means is, when you're putting the parashis in the batim, if you take a look, right? So you roll it up, and you place it in the batim. Now you should place it in the batim such that if the bias were to open, and you were to unroll the parasha, it would be with the beginning of the parasha on your right, so that it would be readable as you face the tefillin. Correct. In other words, you shouldn't put it in such that only someone from the back would be able to open it and read it. The correct way to put it in is so that when somebody from the front would open the bayis, he would be able to read the parasha, meaning it should be the beginning of the parasha on the right and the end of the parasha on his left. Memzayin. Im kosav kol arba parashis beklaf echad, Ksherim. Afilu ein revach beinem. This is a very difficult to understand halacha, but we'll do our best. What it means is as follows. The shel rosh, as you see, is four compartments, which means, as we discussed previously, that it's four separate pieces of cloth, each one inserted into a single bias. Mechaber is saying that if somebody would create the shel rosh on one piece of cloth, it would still be kosher. Now, how you need to be Houdini to figure out how are you going to get four parashiyas which are written on one piece of cloth into four batim. It's kind of sounds like it's impossible. So the Mechaber explains, in cause of kol arba parashiyas beklaf echad ksherim, afilu ein revach beinem. Even if you don't have any space between the parashiyas, so the mystery increases. Provided that you have a string running between each bias to delineate where each parasha begins and each parasha ends. So that Mefarshim explain a few ways how this is possible. One is that the parasha, you take this single parasha and you fold it like an accordion, and each section of the accordion goes into its bias. It's going to be mushkav, but not upside down. Upside down is the kpeida. Mushkav is nishkeferlech, because Rabbeinu Tam holds anyway it should be mushkav. So mushkav wouldn't be ma'akiv. Now, that's one pshat. Another pshat that they say, Rashi says, is that you snip between the batim, between the parashias, but they're still attached on the bottom. Okay, so you snip from the top down, and then you put each one in its compartment, so it's still one piece of cloth because they're all connected on the bottom, but each one goes into its compartment. Now, what would possess a person to do such a thing is difficult to understand, but Al Kalpanim, the Gemara is telling us that should such a situation arise, there is a way to do it that it's going to be kosher. Shalyad kaisav arba parashis beklaf echad. The shalyad, as we mentioned at the very beginning of the siman, is written on one piece of cloth. It should be rolled from the end to the beginning. The kairich cloth alayan, as we previously discussed, you wrap it in a piece of cloth, the seir egel, and you wrap it, the cloth, in the hair. Umachnisam bebatim, and they're inserted into the batim. Bebesam, umachnisam bebesam, right? Singular. Kimoi shel rosh. Period. Im kosvam al arba klafim. What if someone wrote the shalyad on four pieces of klaf instead of on one piece of klaf? Vihinicham ba'arba batim. And he put them into four batim. So it sounds like a shel rosh. Doesn't sound like a shalyad. Yatza, he's yaitza. Meaning for the shalyad. How is that? He made it. We just described the shel rosh. So how is he yaitza the mitzvah of tefillin shalyad by creating a shel rosh? Explains the Mechaber, v'hu sheyitle pirush yichase or al arba batim sheyu nirim kibayas echad. You know what the answer is? You take another piece of hide and you cover the four batim. So now the four batim are hidden inside a single bias. So that will be enough to kasher the tefillin. Hagav, ha'minig ladabka medevek. If we have a shalyad written on multiple pieces of cloth, the minig is to glue them together. Again, just to explain what's going on over here. We said previously that the shalyad has to be on one piece of cloth. The halacha is that even if he wrote it on four pieces of cloth, it's going to be kosher. Okay, but that's not really the way it's meant to be. It's supposed to be one piece of cloth. So that's what he's explaining. If you have multiple pieces of cloth and glue it together, so now it's one piece of cloth, and then you have a shalyad the way it's meant to be. This halacha is actually very negeya, because it could be, it's common that a sefer can't find a piece of cloth which is long enough to write a tefillin shalyad. Tefillin shalyad is very long, so sometimes seferim will take two pieces of cloth, glue them together, and write a tefillin shalyad. That's one possibility. Another possibility is somebody checks his tefillin, he's been wearing them for 20 years, he checks his tefillin, and Parsha Shema in his shalyad has a psul. Okay? So what can he do? He can cut off Shema and Vahayim Shemaya. Kaddish and Vahaya Ki Viacha were written 20 years ago. So now he'll get a sefer to write for him Shema and Vahayim Shemaya, which is written after the Kaddish and Vahaya Ki Viacha. So everything is written in order, Kesidron, as necessary. You then take the Shema and the Vahayim Shemaya, you glue it together with the pre-existing Kaddish and Vahaya Ki Viacha, and you have yourself a kosher pair of tefillin. This had meisim b'chol yoim. It's done all the time. So that's what the Rama is saying. V'aminig l'dabkan b'devek, sheyehei hakol k'klaf echad, v'yizaru litol devek kosher. When doing this, one should use kosher devek. The place can explain, kosher devek means that it shouldn't have a davar tameh in it. But synthetic devek is going to be okay. So I actually called Elmer's, and I asked them if their glue has any davar tameh in them. And Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of animal rights activists out there today, so no self-respecting glue company will use animal derivatives in their glue. So all glues, to the best of my knowledge, are synthetic, and they would be kosher to be used for tefillin, and they are. No. They told me it's totally synthetic.
Is it a hindrance for it to be all in one cloth?
Pashtus, yes. But that's a subject, it's a contentious question, because some seferim say that if you can get better klaf by having two pieces and you glue it together, so that would be hiddur mitzvah. And others say, no, the hiddur mitzvah is having one actual piece of klaf. So that's a bit of a machloikas even today. Bemches, in tzipa habatim bizov, if the batim, somebody really loves his tefillin, so he says, you know what, I'm going to take it to the jeweler and I'm going to have it gold plated. Or the opposite. He says, you know what? I'm going to cover my batim with the hide of a behema tmeya, psulim. The tefillin are going to be posel, because the tefillin have to be what's called royan pnei ha'avir. the tefillin have to be exposed to the world, right? But once they're covered by something, so then the something that they're covered by kind of wipes out the tefillin that are underneath them, which is exactly why a minute ago we said that if you have a shel rosh and you cover it with a single piece of cloth, that'll turn it into a shel yad. So that over there, it would be okay. But to cover it with gold or behemoth tmeya, that would be possible. Memtes halacha lemaishim yisina shiyu tefillin nitfarim begidei behema v'chaya tahirim v'toif litfar begidei shor. The tefillin should be sewn up not with threads from a sewing kit, rather the tefillin should be sewed up with gidim. Gidim are sinews, tendons, ligaments of animals which are spun together and turned into threads, as it were. And that's how somebody sews up the tefillin. The toiv litfar begidei shor, and it's good to sew the tefillin with gidim, which are made from an axe. I'll just mention as a side note, there's a question, a very big question about tefillin that involves glue, right? When discussing previously closing up the titura, right? It's actually going to come up soon in Sifnun Beis, right? But we'll mention it now because we get to a lot of different things. The big question about glue in tefillin, right? You can have that we discussed that sometimes the four batim can open up. So people will want to glue the four batim together. Well, right. Another case is that you have the titura, you want to close the titura elyon and the titura tachtonis. So you sew it up, but you have an unsightly crack. So someone will want to glue it together, right? So does the glue turn it into one? So that's a big, so all these things are shailas and impossible to go into at length now. But the reason I'm bringing it up over here is because negeh to gidim also. Gidim sometimes nowadays, when you spin them together, they could be weak. So what some gidim machers have been found to do is they take glue, right? You have glue nozli, right? And you take like a liquid type of a glue. And when you're spinning the gidim, you just have your hands moist with glue. So then when the gidim are complete and they dry, they become hard and solid and they're not going to break. So there's a big shaila, just like you have a shaila in other places about glue between the batim and glue in the titura, and glue in all kinds of places. So too, if you have gidim, which are glued together, which is very, 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 very common today, it's something that needs to be discussed with the Rav. Halacha nun. Ein liknais gidim me'ena Yehudi. Somebody should not buy gidim from a non-Jew. Mishum dechashinan shema shel behema tmeyahem, because they may be coming from a behema tmeyah. Kind of like the people who were caught in Netanya a few years ago making gidim, which were made from a behema tmeya, even though they weren't not Jewish, unfortunately. Makam she'en gidim mitzuyin, in a place where you can't get a hold of gidim, toifrim betalidrosh, talidoresh, she'oisim min haklaf, ad she'izdamnu lehen gidim. Gidim, again, as we said, is tendons, sinews, ligaments of animals, which are spun and turned into threads. Now, if you don't have those available, so talid rosh is, it's basically like ritzuas, just very, very thin. It's klaf, and you cut the klaf into very thin strips, and you can use it in lieu of, or in place of, threads. So if you cut thin enough strips of klaf, so you can use that in place of threads. So that's what he's saying. Makam she'en gidim mitzuyin. When you don't have gidim available, so you can use these thin strips of klaf in their stead, but the Mishnah Berurah says that only for the purpose of not being mevatel mi mitzvah tefillin, right? But really, this is not ideal, and the second you can get a hold of gidim, you should get rid of the strips of klaf and instead sew them up the way they're meant to be sewn up with gidim. Nun Aleph. Yitvar shleisha tefiras b'chol tzad. There should be three stitches on each side of the tefillin. So again, here you have your tefillin, right? So you have stitch one, stitch two, stitch three. You have three on each side, right? Yitvar shlosha tefiras b'chol tzad, v'chut ha-tefira yiyasayviv mishtei ruchais, and the chut ha-tefira goes on both sides, which means on the bottom and on the top, right? You go through, and you have a full stitch over here, and you have a full stitching over here. Okay, so meaning it's double double-sided, right? Sometimes if you're sewing something, so you can do it such that half of it is going to be on the bottom and half of it is going to be on top. You go in and out, alternating as you go. So he says, no, you have to double it such that you have a full stitching on the bottom and a full stitching on the top. So that is actually something that you don't see on these tefillin, right? What it means is that the chut with which you're sewing the tefillin really should run between the batim. Okay? Now the reason you don't see them over here, hopefully, is because they're at least visible on the inside. Okay? But there are those that are makbid. Reb Eliashib was medactic about this, that it should be visible on the outside. Okay, so sometimes you'll see on some tefillin that you'll see externally between the four batim, you'll see the chut hatfira coming out between the batim. Okay, I could show it to you if you want. You look around in shul, you'll see some people have that the chut hatfira is nikar. It's called the chut hatfira nikar bein habatim. That the chut hatfira is nikar on the outside. There are other chumras about this. The Kleisenberger Rebbe had a chumra that when you do it, you have to take it down from the top. Instead of going through, right, a tunnel between the batim, you have to come down from the top. And the svara is, because the whole purpose of having the chut go between the batim is to show that it's actually four separate batim. Maybe this is really just one bias, and somebody scored into the paint three lines, right? So how do you know it's really four batim? So the purpose of having the chut hatfira run between the batim is to show that it's four separate batim. So for that reason, the Kleisenberger Rebbe said, okay, so do it from the top. And that way you know it's four separate ones. Whereas if you just have a tunnel, it's not necessarily a raya. Okay, anyway, that's the din of the chut hatfira ben habayis. Again, the fact that it should be nikar externally is certainly not ma'akiv, but there are those that are mahader to do so. Hago, miu, imloy asarak,
you...
Yeah, I mean, you could sew it together. There's a discussion about when you can sew it together, when you can't sew it together. But yes, it has to be, at least by way of tying it together, has to be one piece. Pashtus, yes. It's a good question, but Pashtus, yes. Haga, miu. Im lo yaserak yud fears. Let's say you only did 10 instead of 12. I pachas miza, and in if so. Right? You could do more. Also, the Paiskim say, V'yesh misha imer, she'yud beis tefiris elu yu b'chut echad. Oh, there you go. Right? It should be dafka with one chut, and that's definitely how we are noyak, that we use one chut, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah here says, that if it rips, you could tie it together, and so forth. Halacha nun beis, yachnis ha-ritzua teicha ma'abarta, the ritzua runs through its tunnel. Yasa kesher kemin dalet, and a kesher, sort of like a dalet, is created b'shel roish, or kemin yud b'shel yad, and like a yud in the shel yad. Lahashlim oisius shakai im hashin shebishel roish. Right, so we have a shin on the shel roish, we have a dalet as the kesher of the shel roish, and we have a yud as the kesher of the shel yad. So there's a big discussion what the correct tzura of the kesher of the dalet is. There are those that have what's called the dalet. There are those that have what's called the mem, or the square. And then there are even those that have with a hole in the middle of the mem. That's the minig of tzans. Some sefer had such a kesher. It's alpi the zoyer. So there are three different types of ksharim. Everybody should stick to their minig. As far as the yud on the shel yad, it's relatively straightforward, but it does get very lebedik regarding a lefty. How to make the kesher for a lefty, because the metzias is that a left-handed person, you cannot make the kesher. See, these are righty tefillin. So here you have your yud, right? This is the yud, this is the leg of the yud, and you're good to go. But when you're doing it for a lefty, it's impossible to create it like this. Trust me. So you're going to have to either flip it upside down, or you're going to have the leg of the yud coming out of the other side. So there's a big tumult about this, which minig is preferable. And again, everybody, both Minhagim have a basis. I'll tell you one very quick thing. They brought down that they asked the Gedolim of Yerushalayim what the minig is in Yerushalayim. And they said that there are no lefties in Yerushalayim, so we don't have a minig. So they couldn't figure out how that's possible until they realized that, you know, like the minhag was in Europe, somebody was a lefty, so they just turned them into a righty. So there was no minhag in Yerushalayim 100 years ago how to make the kesher of a lefty because there were no lefties. Says the Ramah, V'noyagim lahavir or al habayis shal yad l'roichav hazroya v'yia rochboi k'roichav habayis v'layasa haksharim ela la'achar sha'asa hashin mitfilin. What that means is that they used to have a minig of having an extra piece of oir on the bayis shel yad, which we don't have this today. But the next halacha is that the ksharim should be made kisidron. They should be made in order, right? That first, first you have the shin on the tefillin, and then you have the dalet of the shel reish, and then you have the yud of the Shel Yad, spelling the letter Shakai, and you're good to go. So we made it through the end of Simon Lamed Beis.